जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंद ಚಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ನೀ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಶಿವಾಯಂ ಗ್ರೇಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations, Text Number 30. Etad Rupam Bhagavato Hyarupasya Chidatmanah Maya Gunair Virachitam Mahadadhiviratmani ಏತದ್ರೂಪಂ ಭಗವತೋ ಹ್ಯರೂಪಸ್ಯ ಚಿದಾತ್ಮನಃ ಮಾಯಾ ಗುಣೈರ್ ವಿರಚಿತಂ ಮಹದಾಧಿವಿರಾತ್ಮನಿ. ಏತದ್ರೂಪಂ ಭಗವತೋ ಹ್ಯರೂಪಸ್ಯ ಚಿದಾತ್ಮನಃ ಮಾಯಾ ಗುಣೈರ್ ವಿರಚಿತಂ महदादिभिरात्मनि एतद्रूपं भगवतो एतद्रूपं भगवतो एतद्रूपं भगवतो एतद् ऑल दीज रूपम फॉर्म्स भगवतः ऑफ द लॉर्ड ही सर्टेनली अरूपस्य ऑफ वन हु हैज नो मटेरियल फॉर्म चिरात्मनः ऑफ द ट्रांसेंडेंस माया मटेरियल एनर्जी गुणैः बाय द क्वालिटीज विरचितं मैन्युफैक्चर्ड महदादिभिः विद द इंग्रेडिएंट्स ऑफ मैटर आत्मनि इन द सेल्फ ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद द कंसेप्शन ऑफ द विराट यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड एज अपियरिंग द मटीरियल वर्ल्ड इज इमेजिनरी It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form. Purport. The conception of the Lord known as the Vishwarupa or the Virat Rupa is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental. And there is not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. There is no difference between the body and self as there is in the conditioned soul. The Virat Rupa is conceived for those who are just neophyte worshippers. For them, the material Virat Rupa is presented. And it will be explained in the second canto. In the Virat Rupa, the material manifestations of different planets have been conceived as his legs, hands, etc., Actually, all such descriptions are for the neophytes. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his actual forms, factual forms. As Paramatma or Supersoul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms. But the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original spiritual bodies. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर अलाउइंग मी टू एड्रेस ऑल ऑफ यू। Like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. So here we are seeing how, after a long list of description of the various incarnations of the Lord, beginning with the Kumaras and the Purushavatars and all those lists, and ending with Krishna Balaram and how Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Suta Goswami has described the benefits of hearing all these descriptions, how one can be liberated from the endless cycle of miseries simply by hearing these narrations. Avatarahya Sankheya. So God has unlimited forms. One boy was asking me, if God has unlimited forms, why don't we worship any form? What's harm in worshipping any form? God is unlimited. So I tried to give him an example. He was from an engineering background, student. So I said, like you have, you know, in mathematics you study this set of numbers. A set of natural numbers, set of real numbers, set of integers, set of imaginary numbers. So set of natural numbers, for example, you know, beginning with 1, 2, 3, up to infinity you have. So the list is infinite. There are infinite numbers in that set. But just because the list is infinite doesn't mean every number is a natural number. You have fractions, which is also a list of infinity. You have negative numbers, which don't fall in that set. So just because some set is infinite doesn't mean any number can fall into that set. So similarly, just because God has unlimited forms doesn't mean any form is God's. You have so many buildings here. Every college is a building. Every hospital is a building. But doesn't mean every building is a hospital. Every building is a college. So that's sometimes misconception people have. You know, just because God is infinite, you choose any form, any existing form, any speculated form, and then you worship it as God. That is what is condemned. So such worship of any form, although it's a popular idea among masses, but among the philosophers, among the intellectuals, it is not appreciated. If you look at the Western intellectuals or Eastern intellectuals, everyone tries to find some common principle underlying all kinds of worship. So even in India, we had philosophers like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all these big acharyas. They propounded monotheistic worship. Although among the masses, people were worshipping so many gods and goddesses. During Lord Chaitanya's time, we find how there were so many worship. People were worshipping even so many imaginary forms. People were worshipping animals also. Their marriages happening. So among the masses, you will find people having different conceptions. But when it comes to intellectuals, they try to find some common principles. Like even in any other subject, let us take science also, or biology, or any other subject. If someone says, oh, this is a dog, this is also a dog, that is also a dog. Everyone has common features. So all these animals fall under the class dog. Okay, then there is another animal that also has four legs, but its face is different, height is different. So, okay, so these animals fall under, say, mammals, four-legged mammals. And then there are other organisms who have two legs or who have no legs, microorganism. So all these can be categorized under living beings. So this is a general tendency of everyone to find out something common, a common categorization, and classify them under that. Similarly, when it comes to worship, even though people may worship different forms and gods and goddesses, people who are rational, people who are intellectuals, they try to find, okay, what is the common principle behind all this? So lowest form is, no, there is no God, or I am God. Then little higher than that is, worship some form, worship the fire, worship mountains, worship the sun, worship the different gods and goddesses. A little higher than that is, worship that impersonal. There is something impersonal, although it is appearing as different forms. There could be some impersonal oneness, which is beyond all this. That is a superior form of worship. Beyond that, as here we find, it's a description of the universal form. God appearing in matter. Which is higher, I am not sure, whether impersonal worship or worship of the universal form. But that is also considered. It's considered a bona fide worship. Worship the whole universe that we see around us as a form of God. And then beyond that, you have the worship of the yogis who worship the Paramatma within the heart. And ultimately, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here in this section that we are reading today, Prabhupada is explaining how the universal form is an imaginary conception, especially designed for the neophytes who are too absorbed in matter, who cannot think anything beyond matter, because all they have experience of is matter. Matter and material objects, everything is matter around us. So suddenly to tell such a person, you know, God has spirit, anti-matter, whose characteristics are opposite of matter. Prabhupada wrote that book, Easy Journey, Anti-Matter and Matter. So, matter, anti-matter, whose characteristics are totally opposite of material characteristics. So you have to worship that thing. So when we try to imagine what could it be, we can't conceive of any such thing. Okay, if you cannot conceive of that, here it is. Same matter that you are familiar with. You worship that in this form, the universal form. So all the universal form is imaginary. Its application is spiritual. The effect of meditating on the universal form is transcendental. Although the form is imaginary. Just unlike worship of any other material object, if you worship any matter, then the effect is not transcendental. But among the worship of various matters, matter, material forms, worship of this universal form will give us spiritual benefits. Therefore, it is described in the Bhagavatam. Several times it comes, second and third cantos, couple of times. So, such neophytes, when they worship this universal form, because neophytes need something grand, something big, something that astonishes them. If you tell them, oh, this little form we worship, this God, they cannot appreciate that. But when something grand is there, huge description, lights and forms, sizes, numbers, these things catch our attention. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. When you say a big corporation or a big enterprise, oh, this is the size, so many crores and so many branches all over the world and so many diverse projects, and this is headed by so and so person, then this person must be great because his influence is so big. So numbers, sizes, these captivate our attention. So similarly, because we have this tendency, therefore universal form is described. So even the Gita, you find Krishna describing the, showing the universal form, the 11th chapter Vishwarupa. Prabhupada is here using both terms interchangeably, Vishwarupa, Virat Rupa. Although in most cases it is the same, there could be slight differences. What Arjun saw in the Bhagavad Gita, that Vishwarupa, there he saw, no, all these Kaurava soldiers entering into the mouths of the Virat Rupa. Sandrishyante churanita iruttamangai, all those getting crushed, their arms and limbs getting crushed by the jaws of the universal form. So all those things are not described in the Bhagavatam. That was pretty little kind of customized for Arjun's understanding. But many things are similar. The Vishwadevas and the Adityas and the planetary systems, those things are common. So in the 11th form, Arjun is requesting, Manyase yadi tachakya maya drashtumiti prabhu. If you think I am eligible to see this form, please show me. One time one disciple of Prabhupada requested, told Prabhupada, so I have been chanting for so long, six, seven months, but I have still not seen Krishna. Darshan I have still not received. So Prabhupada showed him this verse. Manyase yadi tachakyam maya drishta. If you think I am eligible to see your form, then please reveal it to me. So that's the humility Arjuna is expressing. If I am not qualified, then please don't. Indirectly, that's what it means. And then Krishna says, okay, yes, here it is. Pashya me partha rupani shatashotha sahasrasha. So many things are there here. You see all these various demigods. So you find in the Gita 3, Krishna first describing the universal form. After that, Sanjay describes the universal form to Dhritarashtra. And then Arjun describes the universal form. All three are similar, quite similar, but little bit details are there. Arjun is describing from his point of view. All these warriors are getting inside. And I don't know, Disho na jane na labhe. I am confused, which is, what direction? I am losing the sense of direction. Please make me sober. So three levels of description of the universal form you find in the Gita. Krishna says, you won't be able to see this form unless I give you the eyes. Natumam shakyase drashtum anenaiva svachakshusha. Divyam dadamite chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram. Until you receive divyam chakshu, Only then you will be able to see this form. So getting the eyes to see the universal form, whether this one or the one Krishna showed, it is not like organ transplant, where someone has lost his eyes, lost his vision due to some disease, and then you transplant the organ. So this kind of this is a different kind of vision. So universal form, not everyone has same access to whatever is present in the universe. Like we have, you know, in a computer setup, the administrator can give us different access, different levels of access. If he's a simple user who just wants to do some basic activities, he may have some basic access to the data. But someone who is regularly working, someone who is a boss, he may have greater access to the data within the server and other system. So although the machine is the same, the keyboard is the same, mouse is the same, everything is same. But what level of access we get depends on our eligibility. Similarly, although the universe is there in front of us, so many things are there. But so many things that are described in the Bhagavatam, we are unable to see. People wonder, where is that golden mountain, conical shaped mountain and the ocean of milk and the ocean of liquor and other things? Where are these? And So many fantastic descriptions of Brahmaji's planet Indra Loka. Do they really exist? Golden mountains. So, because we don't have access, the access is restricted. Because of lack of eligibility. Once we are eligible, like Shivaram Maharaj writes in his book, two things we cannot understand with anarthas. One is about the universal structure described in the fifth canto, and one is how the jiva fell down. What caused my fall? So much debate is happening about how the living entity fell, from where it fell. Some advocate that we fell from the Brahma Jyoti, some say we fell from the spiritual world, different theories. We can never understand these subject matters until we have reached a certain level of purification. And once that level of purification is reached, then it is revealed automatically. That's what he says. Anyway, so the universal form Arjun is seeing is something that is revealed to him. Not someone who can simply by our mechanical devices, instruments, we can get access to all those things. Therefore, Prabhupada said, even if you go to the moon or any other planet, you won't see things there. Because the demigods have the right to hide things from us. Even if they come down to earth, we may not be able to see them. Because they have that ability to restrict. And then towards the end of the 11th chapter, Arjun says, he puts his request. Please, before that Krishna says, you become my instrument, all those things. Nimitta matram havas. And then he says, please reveal to me your Saumya rupam. So first universal form. Then Krishna showed his four-handed form. And then he showed his two-handed form. And Arjun is offering prayers, all kinds of glorification. So whether it is a universal form or four-handed form or any other two-handed form, what makes us eligible to see if the form of Krishna is pure devotion. Without that devotional ingredient, we won't appreciate any form. So many demons, Duryodhan, Shishupal, they also saw, but they never appreciated Krishna's direct original Shamsundar form because of lacking pure devotion. So even if you have to understand this, the universal form described here by Suta Goswami or Shukadeva Goswami, until we develop that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, we cannot appreciate it. Or it will simply remain some theoretical information. Oh, okay, this structure, this universe, these planets, all these things are there. But what to make out of it? How does it apply to me? So in this way, devotional spirit will make us eligible to understand these deeper realities of life. Then in the 11th canto, he says, when Krishna gave him that eyes to see, like in the later cantos, we will find how we have these gross organs, eyes, ears, nose, throat, and nose, tongue, and skin. Shrotram, chakshus, parshanam, cha, rasanam, granam, eva. Shrotram is like, also all these things are subtle organs. Shrotram is subtle ears, the gross is karana. Skin, tocha, is a gross organ, subtle organ. And the gross organ is charma, skin. Chakshu, gross eyes, subtle eyes. Akshini is the gross eyes. Jiva, the gross tongue. Talu, the subtle one. Sorry, jiva is subtle, gross is a talu. And ghrana, nose, subtle organ. And nasika is a gross organ. And for each organ you have the corresponding devatas. For eyes we have Surya. For skin, the trees. For the ears, the directions, you have the big devatas. For taste, you have the demigod Varuna. And for smell, Ashwini Kumaras. And these five sense organs correspond to the five these elements. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Sound, touch, form, taste and smell. So getting that subtle eyes, subtle organs, that's what is revealed, that's what is awarded to us. Because we already have the gross ones. Subtle organs are also there. But right now they are like in a sleeping condition, not awakened. But when we take to Krishna consciousness, when we take to the pure devotional spirit service, then it is awarded to us. And then we can perceive all these deeper realities of life. So the universal form as described here, the ingredients of the universal form is material. The planets and the devatas, all those things. But the application is spiritual. Although the material, when we meditate on it, when we study it, and we understand the purpose behind it, then we get spiritual benefits out of it. So as said here, because the conditioned living entity is too absorbed in matter, we cannot think anything beyond matter. Therefore, this medicine, this description is prescribed. I was reading the 7th canto, the discussion of Hiranyakashipu with his wife after the death of Hiranyaksha. He is trying to console Hiranyaksha's wife and his sister-in-law. Although we don't quote Hiranyakashipu all the time, he's speaking clear philosophy, speaking the typical our JOSD philosophy, how the soul is indestructible, body is destructible. Prabhupada says the demons can say high philosophy, but they have no value because they don't apply it. And later Hiranyakashipu is quoting Yamaraj. He's quoting another story, the story of Suyagya of Ushinara province. And this king Suyagya was killed in battle. He had many wives, and in one battle he lost his life and he was lying there dead. And all his wives came there crying, lamenting about the death of their husband. And this king, it is said, he was so angry, his lips were biting even at the time of death. So dead body, but lips are bitten. That's the anger he is displaying, and face is like effulgent. So, and his ladies are crying over their lost husband. And they are supposed to cremate the body before sunset, but these wives are not leaving the body. So as an exception, Yamaraj comes. No, why don't they leave? Let me go and instruct them. So he comes in the form of a boy. This is Hiranyakashipu quoting the story to convince his mother-in-law and sister-in-law. So he comes, Yamaraj comes in the form of a small boy. Prabhupada says, when a small boy speaks philosophy, everyone likes to hear. When an adult speaks, we don't enjoy. Chitraketu's son also spoke philosophy. Everyone here heard it. So this boy starts speaking philosophy. And what does he say? He's talking about this absorption in matter. How it is useless to lament over a dead body. Very instructive verses. He says, hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Everyone is apt to die. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns back to an unknown place. Something similar to what Krishna says. Avyaktadini bhutani. It is unmanifest before.
Vyakta Madhyani Bharata. It's manifest in the middle. Avyakta Nidhananyev. After death, it is again Avyakta. Katraga Paridevana. Why to lament over this? So something similar, Yamaraj is speaking here. Why are you lamenting over this dead lump of matter? Unprotected money lost on the street is recovered. Whereas protected money is stolen. Similarly, a person protected even in the jungle, someone is protected even in the jungle, while someone who has all kind of security at home, he dies. Protected money even in the bank. Nowadays, all these digital things, you do some digital manipulation, you don't know, you may lose millions of rupees, lakhs of rupees. So nothing is in our control, he is saying. Everything is in the control of the Supreme Lord. Prahlad also says, no, you may have a small child protected by the parents, he may die. A patient may get all kinds of treatment from the doctors, but still he may die. So we don't have any control over these. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished in the body, he dies. So our appearance in this world and our death is because we have a certain engagement, destined. And when that is over, the soul leaves the body. Then he says, a householder thinks his house to be identical to him. So the conditioned soul accepts the body to be himself. Prabhupada tells the story of someone in one Vrindavan episode. He saw an auto rickshaw wala driving an auto and another person driving a car. And this auto rickshaw wala was blocking the traffic. This car. The car was not able to go ahead. So the car driver shouts at the auto driver, "Hey rickshaw wala, get aside." No, he says, Hey rickshaw, get aside. So he is not rickshaw. He is the driver of the rickshaw. But he is identifying the driver with the rickshaw. Because he is identifying with the car himself. So that's how strong the identification with matter is. You think that external covering is the body, the person. Whereas the person is inside, actual person. Then Yamaraj gives three analogies. How the soul is different from the body. He says, just like fire is present in the wood, but it is different from the wood. When you burn, you get the fire separately. Air is situated within the mouth and nostrils, but air is not mixing with the mouth and nostrils. Air is separate. And sky, there is sky and so many gases inside, but sky retains its identity. Sky is separate from all these airs within. Similarly, the living entity, although entangled within the body, is separate from the body. So by so many laws of karma, it is now entangled. We have to separate it. Then he says, this Suyagya, his body is still lying in front of you, is it not? So why are you lamenting? He is dead. Now you are lamenting because actually the Suyagya, the person, has left the body. Which means you never saw him any time. All you saw all these years was simply the body. You never actually have seen him. So why lament? Then he says, the most important thing in a person's life is the life air, prana. But more important than prana is the spirit, soul. And even more important than the soul is the super soul. This super soul is actually conducting all the activities of the body. The body independently cannot do anything. And then he says, the activities of the body are based on three modes. And these are not factual. They are all illusory.
all the happiness and distress that you see, that a person experiences during his lifetime, is all illusory. Devamrit Maharaj writes in his book, Searching for Vedic India. He says, we are simply experiencing dreams. Awake dreams and dreams during the sleep. Sleep dreams are like small short dreams. Awake dreams last for a lifetime. And the moment of death is like the moment when the dream breaks. And when the dream breaks, we enter into another dream. Another dream. Endless chain of dreams. Until in the human body we get an opportunity to break the cycle of dreams. Only the human body affords the opportunity to break the cycle of dreams. Chaitanya Chandu gives the example of you enter a movie theater and initially there are all lights turned on in the theater. That's like you enter into the material world. And then gradually, to have the material world influence you, the external lights have to turn off and some other lights have to turn on the screen. Avaranatmika and Prakshevatmika. Covering and throwing. So it covers by darkness. And then another light is thrown. Prakshevatmika. And then the dream goes on for 2 to 2.5 hours. And then when you come out, that light has to turn off and these lights turn on. And then you come out. Similarly, to come out of the illusion of this dream, the other lights have to turn off gradually. The whole bhakti process is to turn off those lights, illusory lights, and then turn this light on, the light of Krishna consciousness. And then you come out, go back to Godhead. So easy. So then Yamaraj says, such self-realized people don't lament over dead bodies. Only people who lack knowledge of self-realization, they lament. Dhirastatra namuhyati. Then Yamaraj explains another story. The story of the Kulinga birds. How there were this bird family in the forest. Husband, wife, birds and their children. Newborn babies. And then a hunter comes, puts a trap about. He shoots arrows at the mother bird. And the father bird is lamenting, oh my God, my wife, my companion for so long is now trapped. And who will now feed the babies, newborn babies? They are expecting food from the mother and I cannot take care of them. Who will now take care? And this way is lamenting. And the hunter is waiting for an opportunity to shoot this bird. And when the time comes, he shoots the arrow at the male bird. And the male bird is also caught in the trap. So Yamaraj says, you are all so foolish. He's telling the queens of Suyagya. You are so foolish. Just like the hunter, the male hunter who got trapped. You are all lamenting over this dead body, not knowing how eternal time is going to kill you also. It's only a matter of time and you will be dead. And you are not never going to get back all these, your husband's body. And Prabhupada writes about scientists trying to freeze the dead bodies for laboratory experiments and trying to revive them. In the future. That will never happen. Some yogi, he says, whose body was dead. The disciples kept that body somewhere, hoping that he will come back. They thought this yogi is in samadhi. And they were hoping he will come back alive. But when after 1 or 2 days, the body started stinking, they understood this is not samadhi. They had to burn it off and throw it away. So our inability to think beyond matter demands that we need some transcendental subject matter within matter upon which we can meditate. Otherwise, we will think God is material, God is impersonal. How can God have a form? This is a common argument people give. If God is unlimited, how can He take a form? Because form is limited. But what we don't realize is, what makes God limited or something limited or unlimited is not form. Form doesn't necessarily have to make something limited. What makes us limited is the material thing. Matter makes us limited. But when spirit is there, spiritual form, it doesn't have to be limited, even if it has a form. And many people argue, many philosophers say, oh, we imagine, because we are humans, we have a form. We imagine God has a form. Anthropomorphism, they say. But it's other way around. Because God has a form, we have a form. The logic is reverse. The Bible also says, right? Man is made in the image of God. Because God has a form, we have a form. And in the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after hearing for 7 days and seven continuous days about this impersonal philosophy, finally Mahaprabhu begins to speak. He tells Sarvabhauma, the personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are categorized in three cases: ablative, instrumental, and locative. And this confidential meaning of the Vedas is not easily understood by common men. Confidential meaning means that God has a form, spiritual form. Therefore, that meaning is supplemented by the Puranas, Puranic literatures. And then he quotes that verse from the 10th canto. Aho bhagyam nanda gopa vrajaukasam yan mitram paramanandam puranam brahmasana. The Vrajavasis are so fortunate that the Supreme Personality of God has descended as their friend and just enacting pastimes with them like an ordinary child. Lord Chaitanya is quoting this, telling this to Sarvabhauma. And then he says, are you describing that formless God whose form is transcendental? Are you calling that form as formless? One who has all the Shadaishwarya Purna Bhagavan. Lord Chaitanya is expressing disbelief. How can that person you call it formless? The transcendental form of the Lord is complete in eternity, cognizance and bliss. Aishwarya Shri Vigraha Sachidanandakar. Shri Vigraha Kaha Sattva Gunera Vikar? You are saying that Shri Vigraha is Sattva Gunera Vikar? Transformation of the mode of goodness? I can't believe. One who does not accept the transcendental form is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should neither be seen nor touched. Not Chaitanya Sri. Indeed, he is a subject to be punished by Yamaraj. Shri Vigraha Yena Mane Seta Pashandi Adrishya Asprishya Se Haya Yama Dandi. He is fit to be punished by Yamaraj. So every religion, like in Christianity, you have earth and heaven. Earth is matter, heaven is spirit. In other religion, they say anything matter is devil. You cannot depict God as matter. And if you carve an image of God, then that is has to be destroyed. But in our Vedic literatures, we accept everything is Krishna's energy. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetrajna Akhya Tathapara. All these three energies are Krishna's. Material energy, the Krishna's forms, the Jiva Shakti and the matter. All three are Krishna's. Although their potency may vary depending on how much connected they are with Krishna. So matter is like Bhinna Prakriti, separated energy. Therefore its potency will be different. But because it all belongs to Krishna, it can be made spiritual. Prabhupada gives the example of iron and fire. Red hot iron acting like fire. So that's our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. You engage matter in Krishna's service, then that matter is as good as spirit. So similarly, deity worship we do. although externally made of matter, metal, stone, wood, deity, but it is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we meditate on this deity form, we get spiritualized. We become pure Krishna conscious spirit, we develop. So in this way, that's the reason why the description of the universal form is given in the Bhagavatam. By meditating on these different limbs of the universal form, we gradually detach ourselves from obsession with matter and then develop our spiritual awareness, Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. If anyone wants to make any comment, thoughts. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.